This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, of Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're finishing up our conversation with Mel Kay, the Mel Kay Show. Now, we had first talked in July of 20 and then again in March of 21, and I remembered it as one conversation, so I just went, took a look. You know, we had a couple of them, so we put in the archive for this show that's being aired on Genesis on April 22nd. 2024. Now, this is from 20 in the summer of 20, is right after the lockdowns and so on had just gotten started, and she had visited her father in a retirement community in Florida and had gotten exposed to someone that knew that she was in Hollywood, that was in intelligence community. He goes, well, Hollywood, let me tell you all about it. And that sent her down the path. Now, she, at the time, had just finished a movie, The Irishman, with Robert De Niro, a Martin Scorsese movie. She went to New York University. She got her degree in filmmaking, and she did a lot of research on the history and, you know, dating things and making sure you get the film to be accurate to history. Well, in all of this, she started coming across the same names, the same families, the same control mechanisms that was using Hollywood, sure as heck, as a PR or a predictive programming, or it was a big giant psyop. And she was smart enough and connected enough and experienced enough to, even as a, still a young, beautiful actress, she just had a different perspective. Early on, as she started sharing, was when we came across her, and we were very encouraging of her. Put it out there, man. Go for it. She was researching a book. I'm not sure that she actually published. I think it kind of evolved into the Mel Kay Show. And it was interesting that we found someone on the inside. So we wanted to make sure that we took advantage of this opportunity to share with you. But we're going to have her back on soon. When? Well, certainly before the 24 election cycle in November of 24. And but maybe a little bit of time needs to go by. We'll give it a couple of months or so, but we'll get her back on soon. And maybe a couple times before the election cycle, because I guarantee Hollywood's going to get involved in that. Then the interview took place on April 19th, Friday, before the airing of this show. And we live streamed it, of course, but the one thing that we didn't mention that I should have was April 19th is Freedom Day, Militia Day, Patriot Day, the Shot Heard Round the World Day. It's the rise of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising in World War II against the Nazis. It's the Oklahoma, Oklahoma bombing, Waco. So many dates associated with that day. I'm not really sure why, but it keeps coming up. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. So what we're going to do is try for the Liberty community to be an example to our friends and supporters and family that we can survive what's coming, that we can thrive in what's coming, that we can trade, barter, a lot of things in what's coming, and so that we can have an example for the world, because they got an example for the world, and it's control. It's centralized. It's they, them, those in charge of you. Well, America, the experiment of America, the American experiment was all about, can people govern themselves? Can they? Well, I think, of course they can. They have for millennia, but it's, well, in a modern world, we have to, we got to do it for you because you're not smart enough. Well, it hasn't been working out. So I think we need to get back to self-sustaining communities and individuals, do as much as you can. You know, at least be, you don't have to be an expert in everything, but be a jack of a whole bunch of trades. So that's what we're going to be emphasizing. Our conversation with Mel Kay is going to be a lot more justification for why we got to do this. And as time goes on, I'm seeing that happening with all of the other talk show hosts and other influencers and so on. They're all starting to come to the realization that it's not fixed until it's unfixed. So I don't know how, what the process by which that happens, but I don't think it's going to be solved with voting. I think that might be a side effect. I think people might express their preferences, but they don't want the people's preferences expressed, thus election fraud. So this has kind of been where I've known for decades. This is how I started. It was election fraud back in the late 80s, early 90s, and a lot of history that's gone into activism that we've done with that, and lawsuits and all kinds of stuff. But it became clear to me what their intent was. Once you understand they, them, those, the bad guys' intent, then the rest is just details. They're going to do what they need to do to get to what it is that is their goal, their agenda 21, their agenda 30, their agenda 50, their agenda forever. And it is control, and it is not freedom down to the individual. They don't believe in it. That doesn't put them at the top of the heap. That means they have to work. They have to be industrious. They have to produce and provide for themselves and others a surplus. That's not how they operate. They are parasites. And they, who are they? The ones that won't leave us alone. They, you can identify them even more and more clearly by their lack of compassion and their lack of empathy. They don't care that you suffer. They don't care. They will burn the entire country down to rule over the ashes. This is signs of sociopaths and psychopaths, and power attracts those very types. The shiny badge, I call them. They go, well, I got the shiny badge. My shiny badge is in charge of you because I got a shiny badge. Well, they look at it by the justification for them to be able to tell you what to do by the position and the shiny badge that you gave them, that you provided. Well, who do you think wants to have those kinds of powers and control over others? The kind of people that want to do that. So that's why I'm pretty sure, you know, the direction that this country and the world is going, and it's only going to stop when enough people see that it is an existential crisis to them and their freedoms. So once they realize that, it's not a battle that can be put off anymore. We're going to finish up this conversation with Mel Kay, and then we'll go ahead and maybe have a little bit more conversation. And right now is a good time to encourage you to go to freedomsphoenix.com and subscribe to the email dispatch so you don't get blindsided. When you had the lockdown and you got COVID and stuff going on, who came with the shiny badge, the fine hat, and the clipboard and says your restaurant, your gym, your salon, your whatever is closed? Who was that?
Right.
It was the county. Right. So they had invested all this power in the county, and I saw in the mid-90s they were trying to create what they called regional government that put another legislative layer of we can do rules and more government on you that wasn't just a political subdivision of the state, but the county was also another law-making authority. We're going to get some, and the sheriff's going to do our bidding. So when we came out and outed this, and one of the things that we printed for this guy, he was very interesting in that Chicago, there was a building that had like four addresses on each side. And all these different addresses, it was the Fraternal Order of Chiefs of Police and, you know, county attorneys and the, you know, Fraternal Order of whatever the heck. And it was all this League of Cities and Towns stuff to where they bring in all these different management for your municipality, your county, or whatever. So you got a little small town, and the first thing they do, and it was at least a $300 million 100%. Water treatment plant, you know, make sure we get that fluoride in there. So this is, this was, it was, you could see it happening, but when you're talking about it and you're a libertarian activist in the mid 90s going, look, man, I don't think you guys see what this is, you know, what's coming. And then everything go, you just sit back and we will find out. And there is going to be a time, what you're talking about, that they need you to willingly put the number on the back of your hand, your forehead, mark of the beast, and make a decision. And when that time
comes,
we are there. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You got to make a decision. So I'm like, occupy the land, man. Just get out of the city. Go, you'll build your own home, grow your own food, educate your own kids, create your own community.
I agree.
We have the tech to do it. And I feel like I'm in a race. As we are on our way back to Arizona right now, do I have an order of tractor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, Green Acres is the place for, and we're going to be giving an example. If I can do it in the desert, Sonoran Desert, I don't want to hear nobody's whining, okay? So this is, this is where our next step is. As an old activist, becoming aware, such as you, about, you know, I started in my late 20s, there is no fixing it. It's already fixed, okay? There is resisting it. You have to be the resistance. And however that takes, vote, don't vote, I don't care. But I'm telling you, stop supporting the beast that's devouring you. This is satanic. This is like a religion with them. They're conjuring up the whatever. Talk about
there's
that.
There's no religion.
The
type
of people that we're talking about, what they believe. Yeah, what's the type? Yeah. Give me the character of these people.
Well, most of them, and you know, I went to NYU. I spent a lot of my life around that. I was in LA. I was in, you know, and I'll tell you right now, I the people that we're dealing with, I've also gone to some of these meetings. I've gone to all kinds of award shows. These people are truly, first of all, they believe that they are gods. They are superior. I can tell you of a couple billionaires out there in this world that I've seen up close enough to know that they truly believe what Rockefeller stated about them being in an intellectually superior moneyed class that should be running everything. It's, I mean, there's multiple times Rockefeller came out and said that, and he's basically the spokesperson for these people. So if you look at all of that, I believe that these are people that not only believe that the people, I remember when I was very young, I was working at Good Morning America, and they pitched some story, and the people that work there, which are Council of Foreign Relations people, saying, oh, no, the American people would never understand that. They're too stupid, basically, about something. And I thought, that's so weird. I was very young. I'm thinking, but as I got older and I learned more and more, the contempt and the disgust and hatred for the average American citizen is so off the charts the higher you get up, is that they really do look at them above the government, even, and all these people down here, we have to just keep occupied with all this different stuff, which is including all these uprisings since Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the Women's March and ceasefire. Now there's going to be upcoming, I assure you, demand citizenship, all the same billionaire money paying for all of this. This is to keep us so fighting against each other, which we're really not each other's enemy. There is an actual enemy trying to destroy America, but their goal and their money is making it so we can't see them. And all we see is what's on the ground, so we can't see it. And that is really what's happening. But these people, I don't believe, most of all, a lot of people say this thing like, oh, the Jews run everything. Well, all the Jews that I know that are running Hollywood and wealthy, they will tell you they're atheists, and first and foremost. And second of all, they live their lives as if they're above God or religion. There is no God. They are God. And they associate that with their wealth, and that they have that kind of wealth because they were chosen. You know, it's very different than what people have made it. It's very easy to take stereotypes and say it's this and that. We're not dealing with the old world. This is a different group. Like I said, the best way to understand what we're dealing with is to go look up how Orwell in 1984 describes the state. That is what they've become. And that is really what it is. There is no religion. There is no flag. There is no loyalty to any nation, to any people, to any anything. They believe and they have their conferences. We see them. They have 10 conferences a year. Year after year, and people, and the same people go, you know, and then they have the Bilderbergs and the Club of Rome, but then they have the big ones that they're in your face, you know. So just follow those people. And like you said, that's what I do. I follow the money on the show. And the most important thing that you said there, I think that everyone has to know is, A, you need to know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and really understand what it says. This is something that has been drained. They've been, since especially Obama holder, it has been, the idea has been all along that the Constitution needs to be destroyed. I mean, that has been the undercurrent of everything.
Oh,
the Constitution doesn't work.
I tell you, as an activist in the 90s, it was when Janet Reno was Attorney General. She came to Arizona, and that was one of my first arrests, you know, for holding a sign. And then, you know, he won't sign. And they let me go, and I go back, and they were like, you can't go. You know, it was a long story thing, lawsuits and all kinds of stuff. But what was interesting at the time is that the mayor of Phoenix, Paul Johnson, I think it was, went to Washington. He's all buds with Clinton. Comes back. They're doing all the confiscated guns at the police instead of selling them, auctioning them back to people, which was a common thing in Arizona. They melted them down and did a sculpture, melted down of the guns, you know, this kind of thing. So during that time, there was a city councilwoman named Frances Barwood that was just asking questions. You're like us. We knew her. She'd go to our libertarian stuff, and we, you know, associate with her. And she found out that they would go, there was a mantra that they had. Oh, the Bill of Rights is just a kind of a guide to government. It's a guide. You know, it's a little bit, it's not really has any kind of, you know, legal binding. It's a guide. It's kind of a guide. They kept, and you started hearing that. And she goes, I can tell you where it came from. It was when the mayor went to Washington, sitting around hobnobbing with Clinton's and Reno, is that was the mission statement, that it's a guide. It's a guide. We can do better.
Right.
This has been going on since I've been an activist, since the late 80s. What all this stuff that's happening now, when you have Mel and other people go, look at this, they've started this. Back in the 70s, they did this. The 60s, did this. They had the Ford Foundation. And you got the Rockefeller this, and the Bilderbergen Council on Foreign Relations, trilateral secret handshake people of they, them, those. And it's all been a plan. And the big thing is it seems it always goes back to, like, James Corbett videos. You know, it's Century of Enslavement. It's Federal Reserve. It's World War One conspiracy.
It is.
Meat meal game. It's been going on for a long time. And the encouragement that I have is that it's taken generations and trillions of dollars and enormous amounts of effort to get as far as they have. But they've gotten this far. And at the point that people start to understand, we're right back to where we were before America declared its independence from all this crap, is that we're going to have to do it again.
But we got to learn from what we did wrong, which was not being vigilant like they told us we had to, and not making sure that people went in and went out, and that there weren't career politicians. There's so much that can be done, because so much is unconstitutional. But the people that have the loudspeakers in the media and in you know, the supra class, the parent company, they're telling us the Constitution and Bill of Rights are outdated. No. They're our only way back at this point. We can figure it out after, but we have to really stand our ground on that. And the other thing that you're talking about that people should definitely look at is what you're saying about what they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, county by county, infiltrating that. And you brought up also Chicago. These people, Franklin Marshall Davis was really Obama's mentor. Saul Alinsky was Hillary Clinton's mentor. The Weather Underground is what happened to the Poison Ivy League. So all of these, and the Clintons, and Clinton's, you know,
Marxist playbook.
But Clinton's mentor, you know, he said, was Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, which is their tome. You read Tragedy and Hope and you're like, oh my God, this is what they did. What you said, though, is important. They've never been so close. And because of people like us and the internet backfiring and the pandemic backfiring, they've never been so far either. So right now there's a choice. And when I say America has to realize they're not after us, they're after the world. America's in the way. We should take righteous indignation in that our founding fathers put us in the way. and that we can stand for freedom and liberty worldwide right now like never before if we decide to. And that has to be an individual choice. What are you willing to stand for? And we need to know, like you said before, we have multiple things happening county by county, which includes a lot of Bloomberg money that went into these C40 cities, into these 700 mayors that they've tapped, into all of these contracts that are smart city, fourth industrial revolution, UN sustainable. Everyone in America has the opportunity right now to go on their county websites and look at the contracts. Look at where the contracts come from. Who's behind them? Follow the money. If you follow that money and it goes straight to the 17 sustainable development goals and anyone related to any of that bullshit, your county has been captured and it's up to you to take it back. And I believe that we can do this county by county by creating freedom groups of people that aren't left and right, Republican, Democrat, resist that ridiculous illusion that we are on two sides and decide that freedom and liberty matter more. If we lose that, I don't care what your issue is. It's over.
Right. You know, this is one thing. I know you got to go in a couple of minutes. And I interviewed David Webb, The Great Taking. And yeah, have you heard of this? You know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I have.
This is, we did a 3-hour show. And I told, I said, no, we do this. We're going to both fully express ourselves. Because in July of 08, I wrote an article, Why We're So Screwed, The Coming Greatest Depression. And I could see that when you did an IPO, that they were putting it, you know, it just went to the banks. They kind of held everything. Yeah. And you get to pay taxes on, you know, whatever profits you make on equities and so on. But, you know, that the real ownership was theirs. And you, when you started the process, you were like seeding it over. They even called it Seed and Co. You know, like you're seeding it on. I'm like,
oh yeah, Seed and Company, CEDE. Everyone should look that up. It's insane.
Yeah, depository,
right.
Trust Corp. All this stuff. So I'm going, right. What the crap? And then when his book came out, and Doug Casey, I had him on the show. We had to do regular shows, and cool. He had interviewed him. And I'm, there's a book on this. Somebody saw this. I'm finally. You know, it's always the activists get proven not crazy, and had him on. I'm like, this is a thing. One of our listeners, we got him in contact with, and they started drafting up the legislation that went into South Dakota, right. And why all this kind of stuff. The Uniform Commercial Code is where they're doing it state by state, and that is how they were doing it state by state to get to where, and you'll own nothing, and here's your happy pill. And you know, that's how it happened. It's already happened.
We gotta fight it. I got to jump off, but I got to tell you, Ernie, let's do this more often. I love talking to you. I'm so sorry I got to go, but I'm coming back anytime. And
yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. I'll let you go.
And I hope you'll come talk to me, too, now that I have my own show, too.
So, yeah, no.
Thank you so much.
Donna, we'll work it out and get it done. Peace, Mel.
Cool.
Thanks
guys,
for coming
bye-bye.
On.
Bye. Thanks.
Games. 150 days of games.
It was cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome would be laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder, a powerful combination.
You really think that people are going to be seduced by that?
I think he knows what Rome is. Rome's the mob. Conjure magic for them and they'll be distracted. We take away their freedom and still they'll roar. The beating heart of Rome. Not the marble of the Senate, it's the sand of the Colosseum. You bring them death, and they will love him for it.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Former President Trump's hush money trial is over for Monday, and Trump had this to say leaving the courthouse.
I got indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try and take me off the trail for.
The prosecution called their first witness, but the trial was halted due to the Passover holiday. Pro-Palestinian protests at Columbia University have forced classes online Monday. Day six of demonstrations have been deemed a crisis by the school's president. Protesters demand divestment from companies profiting from Israel's alleged violations of international law and Palestinian rights. Gas prices continue to rise in the U.S., with the average price hovering around $3.67 per gallon. According to AAA, this is 4 cents higher than last week. The highest price is in California, where it's as high as $7.29 per gallon. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, coming to you from somewhere near Spavinaw, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, Oklahoma. And we're hanging out. We're after MidFest. Donna and I went and spent time there. We may talk about that a little bit this evening with James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. And but the main thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to get about Hamas out of the way. You know, there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but I really think that if we do the Hamas thing, I think we'd all get caught up to speed of what is coming and how it's used as a tool for what's coming. So would you, James Corbett, go ahead and give us your, now that article that was from before, a while ago before, and then you, did you add to it or anything, or is this a new one?
It's a new one. I haven't written that before.
I went and I go and I go, oh, it's an article. I'm going to have to actually read it. It's not a video. You know, I was like, oh, my God. No. You know, but then I thought, I remember you did one on the Middle East. Oh, it was ISIS or...
Yeah, I've talked about ISIS before. I've obviously talked about Al-Qaeda. I've done the secret history of Al-Qaeda.
That's what I was
thinking. This is the secret history of Hamas, right?
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So this one, I got through it, and I'm just going, you know, we knew this, but I didn't know the details of it and how documented and, you know, stipulated things were. Would you share that with us, please?
Okay, you want the long story short. It's Al-Qaeda. It's Hamasad, I guess you could say, is the long story short on this, right? But if you do want the details, I would suggest you read through it. And the details are important. And I'm not expecting any sympathy or anything, but I did a lot of research for this article.
If you're excited about that, I wanted to talk about, and we'll get into some of the other stuff, but if you're excited to talk about that, let's do it, man. Let's do it.
I read an entire book for just this article.
All right. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. There are so many other things. I just knew we'd get sucked down that rabbit hole, and I'm going, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, let's rock and roll. All right.
Well, okay. What's interesting to me about this, really, is we've got to pull back from the easy pat narratives that we get, even in the independent media, because the established media obviously has the easy pat narrative. This is a bunch of terrorists, and that means that everybody in Gaza is a terrorist, including all of those children who weren't even born when the last election actually happened there. You know, blah, blah, blah. We know how that story goes. But then the story in the independent media becomes equally as watered down and silly and black and white, in which essentially I think the standard received wisdom, and I definitely go into this in the article and document it. I mean, it's not that it's not true, but the standard received wisdom is that Hamas is completely a creature of, or at least propped up by, Israel. And I think you could definitely argue that second point, which is what I demonstrate in the article. The first point, that it's entirely a creation of Israel and is completely fictitious, I think is as wrong-headed as the idea that Al-Qaeda is completely fictitious, a creation of the CIA, Mossad, and what have you. I don't think that's real. Because ultimately what ends up happening there is people start basically downplaying the idea that there are Islamic extremists of any sort, that there are people who would die and kill and suicide bomb and whatever else for their cause. No, those people exist, and they really do believe they're doing what they're doing. My point is, they are only really, truly successful. I mean, you get an occasional attack here and there that may in fact be a spontaneous attack, but the really successful operations like a 9/11, like a 10/7, those only happen because they are allowed to happen, because they are fostered, and they ultimately support the great Satan that these dupes and useful idiots think that they are striking against. And I think we have to keep that in mind, because I'm not here to valorize Hamas or say it's some wonderful thing. It's actually a much more complex thing, in which there is a military wing that freedom fighter, terrorist, whatever, however you look at it, they are definitely part of an armed resistance struggle. But there is also now, at least at this point, there is a political wing, and they are the default governing party there, structure in Gaza. So anything that's related to any sort of government service is Hamas. That doesn't mean that every person, you know, every street sweeper or what have you in Gaza is part of the Al-Qassam
fighting. That's, you know, and I don't think that's the impression a lot of people get. You know, my thing is that it's it reminds me of a line in Spartacus where Laurence Olivier character goes, you know, if Rome didn't exist, we would dream of her, you know. And I'm going, if Hamas didn't, the IDF is going, if Hamas didn't exist, we would dream of her, you know. So I don't think.
In fact, that's the exact quote I had in the Secret History of Al-Qaeda documentary with, I always forget his name. He was a CIA station chief in Kabul in the 80s. And he was talking about Osama bin Laden. And he said, it's almost as if Osama bin Laden didn't exist, we would have to create him.
Right.
And, just out of context, I mean, obviously he put it in a different context. And he wasn't saying that the CIA literally.
I have complete understanding. You get old enough, you see the pattern.
you know what he means by that. And it's very true. Of course, Netanyahu and the Likudniks and the extremist Zionists in the Israeli government need Hamas. And that's explicitly, in fact, we don't have to even speculate. It has been reported in Jerusalem Post and elsewhere in 2019 in a cabinet meeting. Netanyahu said to his cabinet, if you want to get rid of Palestine, you have to support Hamas, because they're going to keep it divided between the West Bank, Palestinian Authority, and the Hamas in Gaza. And they're going to be fighting with themselves, and they're going to be the extremists, and the world opinion will be on our side because of this crazy things they do. Yes, they need that. But on the other side of it, let's not be unreal about this. The demagogues on the other side of this need the crazies in the Israeli government in order to justify their own oppression of their own people. Yeah, hey, see, we here, need to rule you.
That's when we start getting down to it. Whose interest is being best served with all this? Where's the gain, you know? Where's a little something for the investment? And I'm looking at, and it doesn't really make any sense until you start to realize, one, they're just messed up in the head, you know? I mean, they're not the same kind of human beings. They're gravitated towards this kind of power. You know, they're gravitated to have this kind of control. This is what they seek. This is their goal. And they band together to do this. It's like a personality trait, you know, and I'm going, and I don't think it's really religion. I don't think it's a country. I think it's just a gathering of the herd or the flock or the, you know, the demons or the whatever the hell, you know, that have come together and are doing this. That's what I'm much more interested in. All this stuff is a side effect of it. Once we start to realize it doesn't matter, you know, whatever evil lurks in the hearts of men and doing, it's controlled by the evil lord of something, you know, it's a philosophy thing. And we have the technology now to kind of identify it, you know, and I don't know, all congressmen got to go through the scanner or something. Damn, it's bad.
Well, let's put it in a context that the American listeners will be able to understand. Just think of it as an American war for independence. And in that war for independence, of course, you have the freedom fighters who, of course, were seen as terrorists by the Brits. But within that freedom fighter, terrorist, whatever way you frame the war for independence, you had different people coming at it from different perspectives for different reasons. So you had the Thomas Jeffersons and the Thomas Paines and the people fighting presumably for some version of human freedom, but maybe they were also lining their own pockets, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then you also had the Federalists, the Alexander Hamiltons, and those people who wanted to, okay, now that we've smashed that up and we've gotten rid of the British crown, now we need an American crown, and we need to create this system of control so that we can control our people. And so I think you have the same dynamic going on in any movement. So there are the people who want to steward over the resistance movement so that they can essentially be on top of the dog pile.
Yeah, and it's a special kind of person. That's what I've really been focusing while I was here at MidFest. You know, I did a lot of interviews. I didn't really get to, you know, hang that much. I did probably 8, 9. I mean, because the people were so interesting. And, you know, that's, you know, hours a day. And it was almost always the same answer. They just wanted the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you're providing context on this Hamas thing, you know, it's, but where is it that we need to be aware? Is it aware that, well, they're not autonomous really, and they are influenced by money, and you got Iran and the IDF and their little backdoor deals of money of serves some congressional campaign's interest of who gives a crap. But the thing is that it is a understanding that we need of what? That you're always going to have these, and you shouldn't align yourself with foreign entanglements, that you shouldn't, you know, believe everything the media says. Not everybody's all bad or all good. Everybody, I mean, what do we bring out of this that's above the normal discussion, you know, kind of root of all evil?
Well, one thing that I would say is I'm not going to sit here and tell Palestinians what they should be thinking or feeling any more than I would be telling Israelis what they should be thinking or feeling. I just want people to know the dynamic of what's going on so that they can make a better informed decision about that. But yeah, whether people think that then killing and violence and destruction is going to be the answer to these problems, I guess is going to be up to them. I tend to think that's not going to fundamentally solve anything. But hey, easy for me to say. I'm the beneficiary of such things as the American War for Independence, which was all about violence.
No, I'm not even
bloodshed.
Talking about trying to influence or tell them what to do. They're going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, what we learn from it. I mean, well, you know, I'm just like, the media is always lying? We learned that
the U.S. Empire
always sucks.
Is the same point that we are always making, which is that it is always a small group of oligarchs that want control over the population, and they will use any means to do so. And I think it's in everyone's best interest to understand that dynamic and to understand, even for the Palestinians, okay, great, let's say you win your state, and let's say you get, you know, from the river to the sea, and you get all of occupied Palestine back. You're still going to be stewarded over by the same clique of people who are going to have power over you if you're going to participate in some voting system or whatever it is that they're going to institute there. And is that really, I mean, Is that fundamental freedom? It may be relative freedom, and hey, it's better not to be being bombarded and killed and ethnically genocided. Sure, I understand that completely. But the question is what you're left with on the other side.
And what are we left with?
I would tend to say the same thing as we're always left with, which is people being deluded into believing that they need leaders to tell them what to do. And until we solve that problem, we're not going to solve the fundamental problems with humanity. And that's why, at the very, very, very least, I do appreciate what the American War for Independence was in its rhetoric and the way that it was sold to the public and the way it's placed in the public imagination. Of course, it wasn't just that. But hey, at least they had the right idea and language, and they were appealing to the right concept of the Declaration of Independence.
That is the power. You know, it's the narrative. It's a story. It's what was the promise. They promised me, it's just peace. I go, they promised me, you know, them lying sacks of snot. So I'm just like, you know, either they broke the promise or you guys did. I mean, you know, what was the deal? So it's just, it's the narrative. You know, I even see it more after this week. We have, you know, we built up a bunch of shows that we put up, and now I can, you know, get some stuff, other stuff done and traveling and so on. And, you know, the break from, we're still doing the news and we have responsibilities for the site and stuff, but it was, I was busy doing interviews and so Donna was taking care of stuff. So I broke away from everything. And then you come back in spurts, check out Freedom's Phoenix. You're like, damn. I mean, you can't look away for a second, you know? And it's just, but the answer is always the same for me, you know? Don't be dependent on this stuff, man. Get outside, understand. Yeah. But should I expect that it's going to get fixed on its own? Should I expect that I can come out from, you know, under the rock, you know, in a few years and go, you know, all right, well, we're back on the mend. You know, should I, or is it 1,000 years of darkness if we lose the foothold of people understanding what's up in your context?
Mm. What do you think? What's your take?
I think that humans keep on keeping on. It just gets really messy, you know, and the messes can last a long time or a short time or whatever. And technology, it seems like it evolves faster, but then the robot armies of, we didn't have AI chasing us like a cheetah all the time. So, you know, how the hell do I know, you know, but, I have faith in humanity. I think abundance is right there, and they're going to try and control the abundance in your sheep, you know? Yeah. And what happens when it's decentralized to bite me? And then there's going to be the people that are predisposed to be, you know, in their cafe, and they live in their coffin, but they got great social spaces, you know? They're bees. I mean, you know, peace.
Yeah.
And then those that are not. So I just want the freedom to be left alone. And
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, it's when you do things like Hamas, are they appealing? Like you say, they go through all of this, trillions of dollars in time and so on, to convince us. At least we were convinced with the rhetoric of the founders. You know, it's kind of, well, that's a thing. Okay, yeah. That's a thing. At least promise
right,
that.
Right.
They never do it, but they promise it. Okay, when they stop even.
So the question is, what's their rhetoric, right? And I do link up in the document. I link up their 1988 charter, which isn't an official document, and maybe they've repudiated and blah, blah, blah. But back then, at any rate, they were talking about the fundamental part of this is it's an Islamic revolution to establish an Islamic caliphate or an Islamic state. So that's what they're aiming at specifically. It's going to be Sharia law. It's going to be Islamic state, and we're all going to be worshiping Allah. So there you go. Is that human freedom?
I just want the individual to be able to choose for themselves, you know,
right?
Anything that doesn't advocate for that, they're like the enemy. Yeah. It's kind of like Thomas Jefferson's memorial.
But I don't think that is part of Islamic law. I don't think they, you can choose for yourself, guys.
Yeah. I saw you made that point. You know, this is, it's kind of a interesting time for me right now that we've got our land. We're just, you know, making the deal on the tractor and all the stuff and everything. We get back, you know, within a few weeks, I'm, you know, Green Acres is the plate, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, and we get going, grandkids come out. And I'm wondering, the whole goal is to try and insulate from this stuff.
Mm.
And the best I think I can do is by inspiration or example, Mark. But then if you start marketing it and then you become a target, they want to, you know, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, yeah.
And the choice really left is, do you abandon the battle or do you, engage again? You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I don't know. You know, I don't see abandoning it. I'm just trying to think of the most creative way to get them. And I saw you did a piece on lawsuit, you know, challenging the man tyranny with lawsuits. Talk about that a little bit.
All right. So part of my Solutions Watch exploration of different ideas, I threw out on the table the idea of lawsuits. And specifically, this was because last month I saw an article about a group of people who were suing the National Park Service because they had been denied the ability to pay entry fee to whichever park it was, but with cash. Mm-hmm. And their lawsuit is saying, well, as last time I checked, the legal tender law was that this currency is supposed to be acceptable for any debt, right? So why can't we use this? So they're taking the National Park Service to court, or are they suing the state, or how does that work? Anyway, they're suing someone about this. And so once I saw that particular article, it's one of those things where pattern recognition or whatever it is, I started seeing that everywhere. Oh, this lawsuit, this lawsuit, this lawsuit, this lawsuit. So I just decided to throw it out there on the table for my community to have a discussion. Do you guys think this is a way forward? I understand that 99.9% of my audience is going to be immediately cynical about this as a potential idea, because it's a bought and paid for controlled court system in which you're invoking state force to come in and enforce these rules that they make up themselves and blah, blah, blah. I get it. But the whole this is the point of Solutions Watch that I think continually gets lost and makes me wonder if it's worth doing it at all, is the point of Solutions Watch isn't, hey, guys, here's this thing that will completely change and wonderfully transform the world for the better overnight. And here it is. And if it doesn't work, then everything's no. The whole point of Solutions Watch is, here's all these buttons and there's a million of them, and you get to choose what buttons you're going to push. And they might do something that improves your life just a little bit. And is that worth pushing that button, even knowing that that button exists? Or is it just, no, not until there's a perfect solution for everything? So anyway, the response that I've received so far is overwhelmingly, this is stupid. Don't, it's a waste of time. It's not going to do anything.
I have an opinion. I saw, it was just a couple of days ago, they had some Brazilian, ICW, whatever, the fighters in the rings, they try really kick the crap out of each other. What I see, whatever it is. So Joe Rogan is doing the after bout interview, and he goes up to this guy from Brazil, and he goes, "Read Ludwig von Mises, MFers." I mean, he's just going. So my point is that when it penetrates society, when it's general public opinion, when people start seeing, culturally and icons and people and just ideas start to surface, slogans, different attitudes, that kind of thing, that's what you're really going for, okay? Yep. And I've had over a dozen lawsuits. I've been argued before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as my own attorney. I've been through, I meet grind in Arizona Supreme Court three times. I mean, I get it. And every single benefit from them came because you got a government number. Because the government number is a starting pistol for the media and these guys to, write about it, So they write about it, it's discussed in the legislature, people take sides in the media. We say you're trying to control, and then it became alt media. And so these things get attention.
Yep.
But even better is it very clearly well defines the issue. And some attorneys in efforts go for, the headline, Trump bad, so we're suing him because he, whatever, So, but some of them are very informative and they're on a specific issue. Some some government inaction,
even informing people what the law actually is.
Yeah, make them say it.
Right?
Yeah, make them say it. And the lawsuits is my make them say it. Yeah. So it has, in the long run, because I've been doing this for a while, almost 40 years, and in the long run, what happens is that you see the shift in attitudes based on the information that people received. This is why I'm so supportive of Corbett and his videos and his context. Because if you don't have the context, you have to learn context over decades. If you know the context already going in by watching, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 20, whatever, of, you know, James's best videos, then you have the context and you can see it. You know, and you can make decisions, informed, up-to-date decisions on what's going to be the biggest
truth
mile
isn't
marker
about
in this history.
Truth isn't a set of factual statements. It's a set of factual statements arranged in a way that makes sense of the world. And that is the context. So you can have factual statements reported by the establishment media, but there are factual statements here and there and here and there, and they never put it together in a way that actually explains what's happening. I would say that the other important part of that Solutions Watch that we're talking about, suing the tyrants, is what I got towards the end of the video, where I'm talking about, rather than suing the state or the governments, using notice of liability as a specific legal instrument to put on blast specific individuals, saying, no, if you come after me, even if you are wearing whatever funny hat you're wearing or whatever badge, you personally, Joe Smith, you're going to be responsible for the harm that is done on this, which I think is probably potentially an effective method for getting particular people to back off in particular circumstances, which again is not some great victory for all time, but could presumably be used.
I've seen it done. I try and get away from individuals because they really rally around their made men and women. I mean, you know, but if it's an issue thing and it's a, you're going after the shiny badge or the position or something like that, but then a lot of times you have to.
When you make it personal, that's when it becomes dangerous.
You wind up Hillary'd and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. And here was McCain. I mean, it was just, you know, a thing. So if you go after people, generally, they always claim sovereign immunity, and then you got to battle that, you know. So if you name them individually, that's the first thing. You got to be ready for that. So oftentimes it's if the goal was sovereign immunity, okay, which is what you really have to attack. So if I was to do it, you know, I'd be going after, get a really good case, and that you knew they were going to claim sovereign immunity, and be ready to argue that. You know, so that they aren't held not liable for anything ever. You got to really get them in acting out of a color authority of law that they knew they were out doing something, and they get stripped of that immunity and you go after them. But it's a, but as long as they're the club, then they can do club you any way they want.
Yep. But also not even in the context of suing people in particular, but using notice of liability as a way of saying that, you know, if you are the doctor that's going to deliver me this shot, you're just sign this document that shows that you are on the record saying that you agree that this is.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.